From Interfaith Alliance, this is State of Belief Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Welton Gaddy. This week we're broadcasting from the Talk 540 KMLB studios in Monroe, Louisiana. This program is made possible in part through the generous support of State of Belief listeners just like you. For more information on how you can help keep this show on the air, please visit stateofbelief.com. Now, here's what's coming up on this week's show. This past week, I had the privilege of taking part in a unique gathering. A large and diverse group came together to intently examine the state of the multi-faith movement for justice in this nation, discuss objectives, and share ideas for moving forward toward those objectives in view of a more coordinated movement among multi-faith organizations and the good of our nation itself. While the best-known faces of organized religion in the media are relentlessly conservative ones, I'm happy to be able to report there is a breathtaking tapestry of essential work being done, both at the local and the national level, to advance the values so many of us share, even if that work is usually out of the media spotlight. And there is great promise for coordinating that work and sharing resources among many gifted, selfless, and inspired individuals and organizations. The diverse group of leaders that came together from faith traditions and professional arenas at an event called Mountaintop 2013 ended up being a gathering that consisted of leaders inspired by faith, by spirit, by values, to explore theories of change, how people make decisions, how people change their minds, and to further shape the blueprint of the multi-faith movement for justice. On this week's show, I am really eager to share with you some conversations that I was able to record during the course of this gathering this past week. I really hope that you will find these voices important, necessary, and helpful. Coming up on this week's State of Belief, you're going to meet Drust Kokoya, a multicultural organizer with the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition. I also talked with Ari Wallach, a founder and CEO of Synthesis Corporation, a social innovation consultancy that kind of blew my mind as he talked about religion and technology. And we'll hear from Caitlin Breedlove, co-director of the organization SONG, which is an abbreviation for Southerners on New Ground. But first, a few minutes with the head of the organization that pulled this event together, Auburn Theological Seminary in New York City. The Reverend Dr. Catherine Henderson is president of this seminary, and we sat down together on Wednesday evening of the event and recorded this conversation at Mountaintop 2013 in Nashville, Tennessee. Catherine, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Welton, it's great to be here with you in Nashville, Tennessee.
At Mountaintop, one of your hopes was to bring together the progressive religious community. Would you define what progressive religion is?
I think that we're not about having people take litmus tests to see if they belong or to sign anything before they come in the door. I think that what we're trying to do is to build together a multi-faith movement for justice or to join the movements that are already happening. But the idea is to bring together a coalition of the willing, certainly a broad multi-faith spectrum of people, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Sikhs, and others, people who consider themselves humanists, people of moral courage and commitment, who are all working together to build a more just and inclusive and peaceful world.
you yourself are a Christian. So what's the difference in religion and in progressive religion?
As a progressive Christian, I am working from a perspective that we are all God's children, that we are intimately and undeniably connected to each other, to all of the other of God's children, that God chooses to reveal God's self in myriad of ways, and that we are called to build a world that's more inclusive and just for all people. So that means working for justice. It means standing up for Muslims who are the victims of Islamophobia. It means working around issues of gun violence on behalf of those who have been victims of gun violence in this country. It means working on behalf of LGBT folks and LGBT teenagers who aren't even sometimes sure if life is worth living, on behalf of young people, young women in particular, who are the victims of sexual violence. Putting your life out there on the line to do the work of justice.
What does justice mean to you?
In some ways, it means creating a hospitable space, creating a home space for all of God's children. So it has everything to do with equitable distribution of resources, not necessarily equal, but equitable. It means access to healthcare, to education, to fullness of life. I believe that God wants us all to thrive and to live full lives. And so we have to work on behalf of all God's children so that all can have access to those good things. Mm-hmm. That takes specific form. It impacts policy. It impacts legislation. It means, as I have done, preaching from street corners and sometimes taking to the streets. It means blogging and getting our message out in many different formats and speaking truth to power.
What was the push to try and get progressive religious organizations together? What were you looking for?
I think that one of the things that we have seen is that often our social justice movements are very short-term focused on legislative agendas, running on the time format of the election cycle, and not necessarily following a long path, looking at the long view. Also, we're fractured. We tend to be fractured. We're very issue-oriented. I work on gun violence. I work on LGBT equality. I work on reproductive rights. I work on Islamophobia. And so the driving question for Mountaintop was, what if we could bring people together? What if we could live out our aspirations for collective impact? How can we leverage our strengths and the power and motivation that our faith traditions and the wisdom that our faith traditions offer us together? Can't we be more faithful and powerful by working together than separately?
I've always wondered, and I used to be very naive about it. I'm not naive now. I guess I've lived in Washington long enough to be cynical rather than naive. But why is it so hard for religions to get together?
Well, I've been working in this multi-faith arena for, over 20, almost 30 years now, actually. And I would say as a Christian minister, my deepest sense, my truest sense of vocation is to work in building bridges with people across lines of difference. So I think there are many things that distinguish us from each other, and we don't want to get rid of differences. We want to appreciate each other's differences. And certainly there are texts that divide us. They're challenging texts in all of our religious traditions, sacred to each of us, that pose challenges and evoke curiosity from those of us from other faiths. But I think there is actually more that can unite us than divides us. Back in the fall, we put together through Groundswell, which is Auburn's action arm, a petition and got 250,000 signatures from people of faith and moral courage around the country who were concerned about the issue of child sex trafficking here in this country, a very hidden issue here because we think that this happens across the world, and yet it happens right here in our neighborhoods at home. And it was an amazing coalition of people of different faith traditions, Christian, Muslims, Jews, Sikhs, secular humanists, and people of goodwill. And so there was a lot. There was a lot in our religious traditions that pulled us together to fight on behalf of children. We shouldn't downplay our differences, but we can certainly find a lot that unites us.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as maybe the biggest hurdle that we have to get over to get the progressive religious community together in ways of cooperation that would reflect what from the outside appears unity among fundamentalists and more conservative Christians?
Mm-hmm. I think the progressive religious folks have often tried to fight against more conservative religious forces. And I'm very excited about this. And it's really part of the motivation of Mountaintop is to create a shared vision together out of the wisdom of our faith traditions and out of the convictions that we hold about the world as it, not as it is, but the world as it should be. What is the positive vision that drives us and drives our work together? Mm-hmm. And so that's the hope that I have for religious people of moral courage and conviction who may be progressive in many ways.
Mm-hmm. The opportunity to work with you is a cause for great gratitude. I admire what you do, appreciate your leadership, and I thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Welton, thank you so much. And the feeling are clearly mutual. And I am so grateful to you for all of your leadership over many years and for our partnership together as we move forward.
The Reverend Dr. Catherine Henderson is an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church USA and president of Auburn Theological Seminary. We spoke at Mountaintop 2013 in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got to take a short break, but coming right up, you will hear more voices from this inspiring event, including Ari Wallach, founder and CEO of Synthesis Corp., a social innovation consultancy, and Caitlin Breedlove, co-director of the organization Southerners on New Ground. But up next, Drust Kokoya, a young Muslim woman and a multicultural organizer with the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition. I'm Welton Gaddy. You're listening to State of Belief Radio. Welcome back to State of Belief Radio, everyone. I'm Welton Gaddy. On this week's show, you're hearing some conversations that I recorded during the Mountaintop 2013 gathering in Nashville, Tennessee this past week. Present for this gathering to advance the multi-faith movement for justice was Drust Kokoya, a young Muslim and a multicultural organizer with the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition. Drust, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Elton.
What brings you to this particular Mountaintop conference?
I am here at this Mountaintop conference because it is a place for people of different faiths to come together and unify our movement for social justice. And there is something in all of our faiths that push us towards social justice, that tells us to do good and to reach for the good for all.
How did you get to Middle Tennessee?
So my family and I came here from Kurdistan. I'm originally Kurdish. Mm-hmm. And we came here in 1996 as refugees of war. And we were actually settled in Phoenix, Arizona at first. Mm-hmm. And we stayed there for about 10 months. But then we heard about the huge Kurdish community here in Nashville. And one weekend, my dad came over here. He saw the community. And the next weekend, we all came as a family and we never looked back. Yeah. And actually, Nashville is known as Little Kurdistan. It has the largest Kurdish community in the nation. Hmm. And it's great. I love it.
I know within Christianity, it's somewhat easy to talk about progressive Christianity as opposed to, say, evangelical Christianity or fundamentalist Christianity. What is it like in Islam? What distinguishes progressive religion from just religion?
So just religion would be the Muslim communities that stay within the Muslim communities. And of course, these people who here in the United States would go to school, of course, with the outside community, work mm-hmm. in the outside community and all of that good stuff. But when it comes to sermon, they're staying within their own mosque. When it comes to Sunday school, they're staying within their own mosque. That kind of thing. That's just normal practice religion.
Yeah.
But then once it becomes progressive is when you open these doors for double-ended flow of people coming into the mosque from all different walks of life, and also the people of the mosque going out and going into these different walks of life. Yeah. And that I think that's where the progression comes in, is being open to that flow.
Yeah. I'm stunned always when I think about the contrast between where we are now and where we were many years ago. And it makes me, because of my past influences, my thoughts, it makes me want to ask, have you experienced Southern hospitality or feelings of rejection?
So I'll answer this by giving you an example.
Good.
A couple of weeks ago in Manchester, the American Muslim Advisory Council held a forum about public discourse in a diverse society. In this forum, we got about 700 people who showed up because they were scared of Muslims. They thought Muslims were there to take over their First Amendment rights, and they thought that we were there to somehow impose ourselves and our religion onto them. And it was the most eerie feeling in that room. Habib Suar, who was here also, his quote was, "You felt Southern hospitality and hostility all within the same time."
Hmm.
It was the thank you, ma'am, thank you, sir, and then yelling horrible things of, when can we burn this woman at the stake, and watch out, she's going to blow up.
Honestly.
In the same time, in the same room, within that 2 hours.
Hmm.
And it's that contradiction that it's just really, really hard to live with, because people can be very, very polite to you because that's how they've been raised. Mm-hmm. But then also the hostility is how they've been raised as well.
Yeah.
The activist within me at that forum was loving it. Look at this. The media is going to love this. We can quote these people for mm-hmm. years.
Yeah.
This is what's going to get the headlines. But then the human within me was crying.
Yeah. Joyce Kakoi, I really do appreciate you sitting down to talk with me. I admire what you're doing. And thanks for being on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me, Mountain. I appreciate it.
It's time for another quick break, but I'll have more from last week's Mountaintop 2013 gathering in just a few minutes. You'll hear from Ari Wallach, founder and CEO of Synthesis Corp, a social innovation consultancy, and from Caitlin Breedlove, co-director of the organization Southerners on New Ground. Just a reminder, there will be more of this conversation and of all of the interviews that you hear on this week's show available online at stateofbelief.com. I'm Welton Gaddy. You're listening to State of Belief Radio. State of Belief Radio, I'm Welton Gaddy. Last week in Nashville, Tennessee, 80 faith and secular leaders committed to building a multi-faith movement for justice gathered for Mountaintop 2013. In examining the present and future of this movement, we spent a lot of time discussing outreach and engagement. And we were fortunate to have Ari Wallach with us. He is the founder and CEO of Synthesis Corp, a social innovation consultancy among those present. I want to share with you now a conversation with Ari that I was able to record. Ari, I don't know what Synthesis is, but why are you here for this meeting?
So Synthesis Corp has been working with Auburn Seminary for about a year and a half. What we do as an organization, we work in New York and Washington and now in Geneva. We help organizations kind of manifest their long-term vision, their long-term plan for themselves. So we work with Auburn, we work with the State Department, the United Nations. And about 9 months ago, as part of the process, it became very apparent that while we were trying to think about what Auburn should be moving into the future, we knew that it couldn't be anything without acknowledging the ecosystem in which it lives. And so in many ways, that was the birthing of Mountaintop, the idea itself. There's obviously been gatherings like this in the multi-faith movement for not just years, but for decades. We decided to do this one a little bit differently. We brought in another company called Imaginal Labs, which uses a process called the Design Shop, where instead of it being about, you know, panels and people at the podium and PowerPoint, it's more about thinking about the larger picture, the vision, doing the scan, doing the focus, and then acting together as a collective group in a way that yields outputs that no one necessarily knew were possible moving into the meeting. So that's what Synthesis does, and this is what we do with our clients, and this is why we're here in Nashville this week.
If you were speaking to a room full of religious leaders, what would you say to them about religion and the use of technology?
You know, it's the same thing I would say to them if we went back a couple of hundred years from now, right after Gutenberg had started, in that it's not just a means of dissemination of the message, it's actually changing the medium and the format in which people take the message and own it. The kind of first iteration of technology within the faith space was very much a broadcast model. So be it, you know, mostly social media, it was like, hey, check this out. Hey, share our message or our video. And what we're starting to see now, especially where religion and technology and millennials or digital natives are coming online within this space, is that they want more. They don't necessarily want God through the internet, but they're looking for bi-directional communication and a sense of connection and connectivity. And so if I was a faith leader and I was thinking about the role of technology, it's not so much something that you should be thinking about in terms of the marketing department or even development or fundraising, because that's usually the silo that it's in. But you need to think about it in terms of program and programmatic, right? If I was a rabbi, which I'm sure many of my family wish I was, or a doctor, something normal in that sense, you know, I'd be thinking, how do my congregants SMS and text me? Like, how could they ask the rabbi or the priest or the imam in real time? I'm at a party. I'm faced with a situation. What do I do? Like, do your constituent members, can they SMS and text you? That kind of communication, or they're struggling with something. How can you help them find something, right? Because the issue is, if you go back hundreds or thousands of years, God and religion and faith very much was the answer provider. Now we have to think about God in the age of Google. So we have a whole generation, and by generation, I don't just mean people within age brackets, but I mean across the board, who can now Google questions and receive answers. And so we have to kind of rethink what is the purpose and the foundation of God and religion in this age. And it's not just to get more Twitter followers.
Ari Wallach is founder and CEO of Synthesis Corp, a social innovation consultancy based in New York City. We spoke at the Mountaintop 2013 gathering in Nashville, Tennessee. Well, we've got to take one more break, and then I'll be joined by the remarkable Caitlin Breedlove, co-director of the organization SONG, Southerners on New Ground. I'm Welton Gaddy. You're listening to State of Belief Radio. Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Welton Gaddy. The big human rights organizations are clustered in New York and Washington, D.C. The national media is still largely based in New York and Los Angeles. And so some of the most compelling and most important initiatives in the work of justice continue to happen completely off the radar screen. That's why I'm particularly delighted to share with you the work of Caitlin Breedlove, co-director of the organization Southerners on New Ground, abbreviated as SONG. We met at the Mountaintop 2013 gathering last week in Nashville, Tennessee. Caitlin, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much.
What in the world? Where'd you get that title, Southerners on New Ground?
Well, I didn't think of it, but we sure do love it. So SONG was founded to connect people that we thought could and should be allies across race, class, culture, gender, and sexuality in the South. So we're a lesbian, gay, bi, trans organization, but we've always had spirit in the center. And that's really where the New Ground part comes in, because we have been doing Southern work and we wanted to indicate our love for the place that we work and live, our home. Mm-hmm. But we also wanted to bring in new ground. So we were really thinking about how to break new ground, how to build new ground, and how to move people towards new ground.
So this is a group for faith leaders and people for whom faith is an important part of their work experience. Is that true for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, SONG is an organization that I think as we grew, we realized how important faith and spirit was. A lot of our members come from a place of rejection around faith and home and family. And so one of the tenets we hold close is that, you know, spirit can be available to anyone who wishes it to be available to. There's redemption. We can come in connection to our traditions again. And also for me personally, I think as a pagan woman living in the South in the country, and also as a lesbian, you know, sometimes our voices are not always heard. But for me, that it's really my belief in the imminence and presence of God in every person that drives all the work. And I think that at SONG, while we may work on campaigns around immigrant rights, around LGBT rights, we think spiritual transformation is the first step for any person that's going to be a powerful political and spiritual actor in our time.
You do know there are easier places to work.
You know, I do, and I'm glad you know that, because sometimes in the North, people don't understand how things are for us here.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here. It's because it's not easy. And because until every single person, for us, that focuses on LGBT people, but all people, feel that they can stay home, return home as they are, then our work's not done. You know, there's a lot of rural LGBT Southern people that are in the country. And they want to stay by the creek on their porch. And they want a community where they can do that, that's loving and safe and has dignity. And so until that work is done, you know, they don't need us other places. We need SONG right here. Yeah. And we need, you know, activists around the country to understand that supporting SONG is supporting work in a place that can be very difficult, but there can be, as long as you stick to the justice work, you can find hope in such unlikely places or places that people would assume were unlikely.
Yeah. Caitlin Breedlove is the co-director of SONG, Southerners on New Ground. Thank you for being with us on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks so much for having me. So glad to be here.
Now, before we go, I'd like to share a few thoughts of my own about the Mountaintop 2013 gathering and about where I see the multi-faith movement for justice heading. I really do appreciate Auburn Seminary and its aggressive vision that convened this gathering of diverse people. The truth is that being a part of this meeting, I saw a lot of wisdom. That's not always common in meetings that I attend. But there was a lot of wisdom here. For example, there was recognition among all present that this meeting was occurring not at the beginning of something, but right in the middle of something.
But that's usually the way things happen. Few of us have a chance to be there at the beginning. We join it in process. Several times during the week, people came to me and said appreciatively, how do you feel about this since you've been at this work like 15 years and Interfaith Alliance has been doing interfaith organizing and interfaith work for almost 20 years? And then they would say, we want you to know, though we are having these conversations about something new, in reality, we're only following in your footsteps and trying to make sure that we get the most out of it for the good of progressive religion and for the good of the nation. I also saw wisdom in the recognition that there were some people whose voices were not present in Nashville, that if we're going to have a true multi-faith movement for justice, have to be included in this conversation, and their voices have to be projected as well. And there was a clarified intent to reach out to some of the multi-faith leaders who were not there in order not to say, you really missed something good, but to say, we need you. We want your involvement. We want your voice. There was a desire for a blueprint of coordinated cooperation, but there was no intent of creating a hierarchy of authority. We looked carefully at one point at what can be learned from the religious right movement. Not that we are trying to create a religious left movement. There's no real value in that. But a desire to learn from what we've seen, and I think we did not do some things because of looking at the way they had been done in the religious right, but we did others. For example, it is important that we talk together on a regular basis. It is not important that we set up a hierarchical structure of authority so that only a few people at the top are calling the shots for everybody throughout the organization, and those in local communities doing hard work have to receive instructions from those in Washington who may be only sitting in offices. We want to avoid that. We know that there are religious right organizations that meet every week. Grover Norquist convenes a table every week and outlines instructions and agendas for the week. We don't want that. But we do want regular communication with each other. We want to understand what's happening in Manchester, Tennessee, as well as what's happening in Washington, D.C., or as those who go to the United Nations come aside to discuss what's happening in the global community. There was a great stress on identifying the kinds of people that ought to be talking together and working together. There was a clear delineation that we want to talk with people who are involved in multi-faith work, who deal with multiple issues and not just run away with their own issue as if it is the only one of importance in the world. And we also want to take seriously the religious basis of various organizations in this community. I saw inclusion. I saw a rare kind of inclusion where someone from a national office had something to say that was strengthened and broadened and sharpened by people working in state organizations and sometimes in regional organizations and sometimes in one very specific tiny local area. No one was excluded from sharing their points of view, and we all benefited from that. I sensed no interest in a new institution. Now, please hear that. We've got enough institutions. If we work together, we have enough personnel to do the work that needs to be done. So nobody left thinking we're about to create a new institution. Rather, I found a passion for a movement. And if the multi-faith group is going to do the work that needs to be done, it has to have passion and it has to be a part of a movement. That's important. Friends, I actually thought this was an exciting moment. In a disturbing but exciting time. This was a high moment for a new vision, a vision that has roots way back to the civil rights movement and beyond, a movement that can have great promise for 2020 and beyond, but a movement that has to find its legs and voice in this particular moment. As in the challenge that we find in most religious narratives, the movement that is trying to get off its feet now has the same challenge. It has to come down to the point of translating a vision into action. In many of the holy scriptures of our various traditions, mountaintop experiences are singled out as great and life-changing moments. But the real test of the movement is not what happens on the mountain. It's what happens in the essential, draining, daily work that has to bring a soaring vision into the thousands of practical realities that actually make life better. That's what our challenge is in the wake of this fine meeting in Nashville last week. We now have to take that vision, that passion, and that promised cooperation and see how we can employ all of that to make life better, to make justice and love more palpable for everybody. At State of Belief, we will keep our eyes on this meeting, this emerging, enduring movement, but we will also do our part to make it fulfill the vision. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. State of Belief Radio is made possible in part by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please visit us online at stateofbelief.com and consider making a contribution today. Stateofbelief.com is also where you can find out more about the show, hear extended interviews, watch in-studio videos, read transcripts, sign up for our podcast. Stay in touch with us through the week, please, on Facebook, on Twitter. Contact information is available at stateofbelief.com, including the toll-free listener line, 800-856-0277. As always, we encourage you to tell other people about the show and encourage them to listen. We want a growing conversation. And join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. We are expecting a Supreme Court ruling on DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, as well as on California's Proposition 8. And we're going to bring you important reactions from key voices in the struggle for LGBT equality in this country. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief. The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was. Oh,